Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
As the custom is, we want to check our anchor scriptures, and it seems we can't take our anchor scriptures now by projection, but we can take our anchor scriptures by reading. So open your Bible. You see, this is how things happen. The day so open your Bible. Our first reading is in the book of Exodus chapter 30, verse 22 to 25. Exodus 30, you let me know, media team, and we're reading from the New King James Version. So Exodus chapter 30, verse 22. Shall we read? Are you ready? Do you have your Bible with you? Shall we read? Look into it. Let's read. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also take for yourself quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and an hin of olive oil. And you shall make from these a holy anointing oil, an ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's add the verse 26. With it you shall anoint the tabernacle of meeting and the ark of the testimony, the tables, and all the utensils, the lampstands and its utensils, and the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offerings with all its utensils, and the laver and its base. Hallelujah. Second reading is the book of 1 Samuel. We are reading the book of 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 5 to 15. 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 5 to 15. Now we have it projected. Let's look onto it as we read along. Now there was Saul coming behind the herd from the field, and Saul said, what troubles the people that they weep? And they told him the words of the men of Jabesh. Then the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard this news, and his anger was greatly aroused. Let's go. So he took a yoke of oxen and cut them in pieces and sent them throughout all the territory of Israel by the hands of a messenger, saying, whoever does not go with Saul and Samuel to battle, so it shall be done to this oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. When he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. And they came, said to the messengers who came, and they said to the messenger who came, that you shall say to the men of Jabesh Gilead, tomorrow by this time the sun is hot, you shall have help. Then the messengers came and reported it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Therefore the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow we will come out to you, and you may do with us whatever seems good to you. So it was on the next day that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the camp in the morning watch and killed Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it happened that those who survived were scattered, so that no two of them were left together. Wow. Then the people said to Samuel, who is he who said, Saul shall reign over us? Bring the men, that we may put them to death. But Saul said, not a man shall be put to death this day, for today the Lord has accomplished salvation in Israel. Verse 14. Then Samuel said to the people, come, let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. Verse 15. So all the people went to Gilgal, and there They made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. They made sacrifices of peace offering before the Lord. And there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. This is the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Didn't you attend a Methodist school or a Protestant school? Okay, last reading, John chapter 14, verse 17. We're all reading together. John chapter 14, verse 17. 1-7. The Spirit of truth. I can't hear you. Let's go. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and be in you. Hallelujah. It pleases the Lord that we still continue in the matters of anointing. And the question we ask ourselves is that, are thou anointed? And we are looking at our first series, sub-series, which is concerning the anointing. Today is the fifth message, and the title of today's message is Anointed with the Holy Ghost. It's the continuation of what we started last week Sunday. But I hope you can follow, because it has a different twist and things. So this Anointed with the Holy Ghost, part one. We may not be able to finish all. So we're going to do part one, and then as God permit, we'll continue in the next meeting. Hallelujah. Are you ready for the word of God? Okay, so last Sunday we looked at the unction from above. So the unction from the Holy One, with the effort to define and bring to perspective what the anointing is. So last week we started, as I said, the true definition of the concept anointing. So we looked at the unction from above, trying to define the concept anointing. I spoke about being with the Holy Ghost, or I spoke about being with the Holy Ghost, which stands for the presence of God in the life of what? The believer. So one of the key things that I stressed last week was talking about the concept of anointing and connecting to the Holy Ghost. I hope you followed. If we're able to listen to the message, you found out that I was trying to draw certain similarities and differences between the anointing and the Holy Spirit, or establishing the relationship between anointing and the Holy Spirit last week. Are you with me? So last week introduced us to anointed with the Holy Ghost. Are we there? So today I want to remain on this subject matter, but in a different tangent. Anointed with the Holy Ghost. That still reflects that we are anointed with the Holy Spirit. Today, by the time we are done with today's service, you understand that all of us seated here, by the virtue of identity, we are anointed. By the virtue of identity, we are anointed. So I want to, when we talk about the anointed, people who are being anointed, there is a perception we have. We think that until somebody's oil and is poured on you, and some man in cloak has laid hands on you and everything, that is when you are anointed. No. Today I want to correct that perception, because it is really affecting our flow and impacting the society. We don't know that we are anointed, that we are going to establish that. So anointed with the Holy Ghost is going to introduce us to that understanding, so that we can all walk perfectly in the grace that God has called us. Hallelujah. So to begin with, the word anoint, as defined last week, means to smear or to rub with oil or ointment. Is that not it? So in simple definition, anointed person is anyone who has come into contact with anything that has been smeared or rubbed upon the person. So if anoint is to smear or rub, it means that if somebody is anointed, it means that the person has come into contact with something that has been rubbed or smeared on him. Specifically, it could be oil or hot ointment. Are we all there? Now, in the Old Testament, the individuals who were anointed were people who came into contact with an oil. Thus, the concept anointing was presented to them as people who an oil has been poured on them. In the Old Testament, for them to recognize you as anointed, somebody they called anointed or an anointed person, there must be some form of contact, physical contact with oil. So for recognition of you being anointed, they must see some form of oil being poured on you. Are you following me? Can we look at some few examples? Aaron as number one example, because if you look at the concept anointing, the first person to be anointed in the Bible under the concept anointing where oil was used is what? Aaron. Leviticus chapter 8 verse 12. And he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. So we see that Aaron was what? Anointed. So Aaron is what? The Lord's anointed. Are we there? Number two, we can talk about David. So I'm going to use this. So after the examples, you understand why I'm using those examples. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 13. And he poured some of Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. I'll come to this place. I'll come there. So follow me. So you see that oil was poured on David. So in the Old Testament, for recognition of you being anointed, some form of contact must come between you and what? An oil. Third person is Elisha. 1 Kings 19:16. Elisha. The prophet Elisha. So you see that Aaron stands for priesthood. David stands for the king. And Elisha stands for what? The prophet. So I was talking about, I'm talking about the three kinds of people who were anointed with oil. As example. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king. You see it over Israel. And Elisha, the son of what? Shephat of Abel, Mehola, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. So in the Old Testament, for anybody to be recognized as an anointed person, some form of physical contact with an oil must be done. Okay? Some form of physical oil must be done. So now let's look at it. Is it that every oil that was used to anoint people, for people to recognize that you have been anointed? No. Because we have all kinds of oil. In fact, in the Old Testament, or in the, if you study the Bible, you find out that they had all kinds of oil in Israel. They have all kinds of what? Oil in Israel. If you come together, you have Zumi, right? Do you know Adrengo? Have you seen Adrengo before? Do you know Adrengo? Have you tasted some before? Koliko? Good, 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 good. I thought I was the only one who lived in the village. People are doing well. You are doing well. So, if the father will put Adrengo on you, because you came into contact with Adrengo because you are frying fish, does that make you anointed? So, we want to establish. So for clarity's sake, when I said they came to contact with an oil, you don't say that, okay. So, in the olden days, when they were frying fish with Adrengo and the oils spills on them, they were, no. Let me establish some kind of clarity here. Even though being anointed means coming into contact with an oil or ointment, not all oils or ointment people come into contact with establish this concept of being anointed in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, specific oils were poured on people to establish them being anointed. This is because the oil used as symbolism that explained the character or nature of what is expected to work in the life of the anointed ones. So the oil that were poured on the people was not that they just feel like smearing or messing up the people's hair and head. Do you get it? Like when you come to church, I can just take, give me oil. Give me, yeah, there's oil. And because today I don't like the looks of Pastor Blaze, and I just want to disturb his life, I'll just decide to pour this oil on him. Are you with me? To mess him up. No. The pouring of this oil, if I should do that, if in the Old Testament, if I'm pouring oil on him, it must be certain specific oil, because it is a symbolism to represent the nature and character of what is coming upon him or what is being established as a point of contact. Hello? I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. Now, let me bring it to a little practicals, okay? We all pomade, right? We all pomade before coming. But the pomade could be an anointing because it's made of fat, because it's right, our ointment. Now, if I come close to you, you find out that the reason why you use the pomade you are using is because of the characteristics or the nature that that pomade can have on you. The impact, right? So, the kind of body cream you use, I cannot use it. True or yes? My skin can react. So, you women, you have your, what you call your various lotions that you use. So, Adjoa can use lotion A. The only ointment that we can all use without any issue is shea butter. Nkutu. That is the general vasia. But any other form of ointment that we will come into contact with can have its implication on us. So we can change our, we can tone our skin by coming into contact with an ointment. Do you understand? So if I smell an ointment on you, I mean that I'm establishing some kind of characteristics and nature of that ointment in your life that it can reflect in some few time to come. Do you understand? So you can't go and use a drinko. There were certain specific oils in the Old Testament that they believe that when that oil is poured on you, you are qualified to be called the anointed. What was the first oil? The first kind of oil that was used was called the holy oil. The holy oil. David have I found, with my holy oil have I anointed him. So the first kind of oil is called the holy oil. Actually, David was anointed with olive oil, not the holy oil, physically. But God said that he anointed him with what? His holy oil. What is this holy oil? The holy oil is an oil that was prepared by Moses under strict directions and instructions from God, which was what you read in the book of Exodus chapter 30 verse 22 to what? 25. And this oil is made up of five ingredients. God called it what? The holy oil. It was made up of what? Five ingredients. Ingredient number one, pure myrrh. Number two, sweet cinnamon. Number three, sweet calamus. Number four, cassia. And number five, olive oil. These ingredients have in their natural character and nature to reflect the power and the presence of God. Which this very concept I've taken my time to explain in my previous series. So I'm not going to talk about it. I just want to move forward because there's a lot to talk about anointing. So if you want to understand this very concept of myrrh, cassia, olive oil that was brought together to prepare this holy oil, then go and listen to the message I preach under the expressions of the Holy Spirit, the aspect of the oil. Do you remember that message? Do you remember that series? We forgotten that sub-series. It is under the series, the communion of the Holy Spirit. I spoke about the expressions of the Holy Spirit. I spoke about the nature of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the expressions of the Holy Spirit, and what? The manifestations of the Spirit. These were the four things I taught under the communion of the Holy Spirit. Under the expressions of the Holy Spirit, I spoke about various items or personalities that are assumed to depict the character of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things I spent time to explain was the oil. And I spoke about this holy oil, the five ingredients that was used in this oil. Are you there? So for time factor, I can't go back into this, but follow me. So that holy oil is the oil that was qualified to be used on people as defined as what? The anointing. So because of what this oil represents, it was forbidden to be used for common purposes. Leviticus chapter 8 verse 10 to 11. You see, this oil was prepared under strict instructions such that it cannot be used for any common purpose. It was forbidden. So you have nobody in Israel had the right to prepare that kind of oil. If you prepare it, God will kill you. Yes. It is God's holy oil. So you can't say that, oh, me, I'm preparing it and I'll use it to... No. Hey, they are still at Exodus. Leviticus chapter 8, verse 10. Leviticus chapter 8, verse 10. Sorry, I've jumped. It's Exodus chapter 30, verse 32. I wanted to read. I've jumped to the next point. Exodus chapter 30, verse 32. So I was talking about the point that the oil was not used for any common purpose apart from what? The aspect of what? Anointing or consecrating people. Are you there? So, it shall not be poured on man's flesh, nor shall you make any other like it according to its composition. What here? It is holy and it shall be holy to you. Next verse. Whoever compounds any like it or whoever puts any of it on an outsider shall be cut off from his people. You see how serious it is? Do you know who is an outsider? Anybody who didn't qualify to receive that oil. So God was so strict on this matter that he said, this oil that I've asked you to do, the ingredient, the composition, no man must try it. Or nobody should pour it on an outsider who does not qualify to have it. If you do that, you'll be cut off. So the moment that oil touches you, you're anointed. Because there is that God's element of his presence and his power represented in that concept of that oil. Are you following me? Okay. Now, this oil was only used, as I said, on the priest and the tabernacle and the things in the tabernacle. So if you find out about this holy oil composition in the Bible, you'll find out that it is the priest and the tabernacle that this oil was very specific to. Even kings were not anointed with it. Because the first composition of this oil, it was not used on a king. So when the Bible said, David, have I with my holy oil have anointed, it was an anointing to priesthood. This holy oil is the anointing to priesthood. The holy oil. It was never used on any king. Check in scriptures. It was only the priest who received this anointing. I searched, I said, oh wow. Then the second kind of oil that was commonly used in anointing was the olive oil. The olive oil. To some of you call it Borges, right? Is it Borges? Do I have one here? Yes. Classic olive oil. Senior man Borges. Let me put it here. This one was used. Hallelujah. Are you moving along with me? Okay. Let's go. So, along the line, olive oil was used to anoint people in the Old Testament, such as kings, prophets, priests, and also cleaned lepers. Most of the times when we talk about anointing or people who are anointed, one of the people we really talk about are the cleaned lepers. No, and I'll come back to some of this concept to talk about how significant that concept is in reflecting in the New Testament. Okay, let's move on. Because of time factor, I've given myself time. There's a lot to talk about here. Okay, so we can look at the concept of the clean lepers in Leviticus chapter 4, verse 14 to 18. Leviticus 4. So when somebody is found of leprosy, the custom of the Jewish or the Israel, how God instructed them, is that the person must be separated from what? The society. And they have a place for them. Should, in case the leprosy is gone out of you, okay, you must come to the priest for the priest to examine you. So remember the 10 lepers. Jesus said, go and show yourself to the priest. So when the priest examines you and find out that there is no any trace of leprosy on you, for you to be accepted back into the society, you must be consecrated with anointing. And that anointing that was used on there was the olive oil. And he shall put some of the blood of the horns of the altar which is before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of meeting, and he shall pour the remaining blood at the base of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Quick. We are at verse 18. I say start from 14. Today, my media people have decided to make my work difficult. Hallelujah. We will not mind them. When the sin which they have committed becomes known, then the assembly shall offer a young bull. Move on. The elders of the congregation have laid their hands on the head of the bull. Move on. They shall anoint the anointed priest shall bring some of the bull's blood toward the tabernacle of meeting. Verse 17. The priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle it. Okay, I'll come back to this scripture. Because of time. It's a long reading, but I was talking about the lepers, cleansing of the lepers. Are you following me? The olive oil. The olive oil was also used because of what it represents to them and what it does in their daily lives. In fact, the olive oil is the only natural oil that was allowed in the tabernacle of Moses or in the tabernacle or in the temple. The only natural oil. So the lamb, Exodus chapter 27, verse 20. The lamb that was on the altar that was supposed to burn, the oil that was used, the only allowed oil that was used in the burning of that lamb was the olive oil. And because of that, the olive oil to them assumed a sacred what? Nature. So the reason why the olive oil alone was enough to anoint people was because of what it represented to them and what they use it for their daily life. It had that sacred representation. I'm still talking about being anointed. Okay. So now, interpretation of the anointed in the Old Testament. Here is the key then. Now, when this holy oil or olive oil is poured on somebody, how is it interpreted before the people? Or what is the message that God is communicating to the people? Number one, whenever an individual or something is anointed, the characteristics and the nature of the oil used symbolically establish the following. Number one, the person or vessels are set apart from others, fit for God's purpose and usage. So the moment an anointing is poured on anybody in the Old Testament, at that instant, that person is not a common person anymore. So he could be your son, but the moment he's anointed, you cannot refer to him as your son like that. No, he's separated. It was an act of separation, set aside, called consecration. We have been what? Set out apart. Are you following me? Are you following me? Do you understand what I said? So the moment you are anointed, you have been set out. So the first interpretation is that this person has been what? Set apart. Number two, the individual assume or become a new person by identity, either as a king, a prophet, or a priest. So the moment an oil is poured on the person, is either the person becomes a priest or a king or a prophet. It means that the oil is potent enough to change your identity. So David was the son of Jesse. When an oil came upon him, he became the king of Israel. Saul was the son of, what is the name of Saul's father? Let me see the Bible scholars here. Who will help me? I've forgotten. Who will help me? Wow. Okay, search. Yes. You are searching. Yes, help me. Is it not Kish? So Saul was the son of what? Kish. But when the anointing came upon him, he became the king of what? Israel. Aaron was the descendant of what? Levi. He was the brother of what? Moses. The moment anointing touched him, his name became what? The high priest. Are you following me? So the moment anointing touches somebody, the interpretation is that this person has gotten a different personality. Change. So you are anointed by the oil as what? So anytime an anointing is being poured on a person, the next question is, what are you now? You are not just anointed to go like that. What are you now? So what they look for is that, okay, this person has been anointed. What are you now? So it's either you are a king, a priest, or a prophet to them. The third thing, the pouring of the oil on the person qualifies them to receive the power of God to act in their respective assignment or mandate God has given them. So let's go back to the book, the scripture we read about David. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, do you remember what we read? Verse what? God. Let's go there. Look at something here. Watch. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. What happened next? Together, what happened? And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. From that day what? Forward. So the moment a person is anointed, that oil, when the oil touches the person, that person is qualified, or that person, it has what it takes to have the Spirit, the power of God resting on him. So this was the three interpretations of the anointing. The anointed. So in the Old Testament, when they say somebody is anointed, the person is set apart. The person has a new identity as a priest or a king or a prophet. The person has what it takes for the power of God to rest on the person for the mandate or assignment God has given the person. Are you there? Are you following me? So, when we say somebody is anointed, I'm trying to lead you to the definition. Are you following? God. Hence, anointed and anointing are two things to them. The anointed is the one who possesses these three qualities mentioned above, whereas the anointing is the presence and power of the Holy Spirit manifesting the life of the individuals who possess these qualities. Follow me. So when we say somebody is anointed, that person is having these three characteristics I've mentioned. But when we say there's an anointing working, we are talking about the presence and the power of God. Are you with me? So do you know, can I tell you this, it will shock you, but do you know that somebody can be anointed, but the anointing will not be working on the person? I'll prove it to you. So what that's what I'm telling you, that when we say you are anointed, as we continue, it is not big of what is happening, it is an identity. It is a new thing, that is something that has happened. It's an identity. But that identity is to set you into what that thing that happened you cannot do. Let me prove it to you what I'm saying. Maybe let's move in. Hence, your anointing is recognized when we see the manifestation of the power of God revealing in your mandate and assignment. We see when we read the second chapter, First Samuel, that was our second read, right? First Samuel chapter 16, 11 verse 5 to 15. You find out that before that, in First Samuel chapter 11, Samuel has anointed Saul. Are you there? Samuel has already anointed Saul. First Samuel chapter 10. Samuel anointed him as king over Israel. But nobody recognized him as a king. Now take him to the verse 6 of the First Samuel chapter 11 verse 6. First Samuel chapter 11 verse 6. Watch something. When he heard something, let's read. Go back, verse 5. To give context. Now there was Saul coming behind the head from the field, and Saul said, "What troubles the people that they weep?" And they told him the words of the men of Jabesh. So the men of Jabesh came and said that they must cut their out camp and some nonsense as a demand from the people of Israel, because they were already molesting them. And when they saw, heard this, watch, next verse. What happened? The Spirit of God came upon. So this is what? Anointing. This is what? Anointing. Now, someone already told him in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 10 that you shall meet a company of and not you shall become a new man. The power of God will come upon you. Be from the day that the anointing touched this young man, the oil, and he became anointed, the Spirit of God started working his life. So you see, the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard this news, and his anger was greatly what? Aroused. Now, when we finish reading the whole thing, now the people saw what was working upon the life of what? Saul. Not because someone poured oil on him as the anointed, but they saw the power of God manifesting his life. And then they said, "Who said you cannot be king? Bring the person here. Let's kill the person." But if the power of God didn't come upon Saul, that work that someone did would have been irrelevant. So you get it? You can be anointed, but for the people to recognize that you are anointed, it is not only in what has come into contact with you, but the manifestation of the anointing on the anointed is very important. Are we there? Good. So let's continue. This was the very reason David's conscience smote him when he cut off the garment of Saul. Now take me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 24 verse 4 to 6. Let me show you something. So I said the anointed is a person who has these three qualities or characters identified with, number one, set aside because of what has been poured on him. Are you following me? Assume a new identity or becomes either a king, a priest, or a prophet. Is that not it? A person who now is fit or has what it takes for the anointing to work on him. Are you with me? That is the power and the presence of God. Now, I want to show you something. I said you can be anointed, but the anointing may not be working on your life. I want to show you something. Now, let's read this scripture. Then the men of David said to him, "This is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you.' And David arose secretly and cut off a corner of Saul's robe." Let's read. Watch. Now it happened after all that David's heart troubled him because he cut Saul's robe. His heart. This is God. You see, the God uses our conscience. So you see, before this place, the spirit of God has left Saul, which is the anointing. But and it was on who? David. True of us. God. Now, here is the situation. When the spirit of God left and it was on David now, by his people and kind of, now you have the power of God with you, you have the spirit of God. It means that you are the one in line. This man does not have the spirit of God, so we can clear him out. David went and he cut off the rope. Then the Holy Spirit began to watch. He said, and he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master. The Lord who? Was the spirit of God on Saul? No. Why? Because the anointed is not the one who necessarily is operating in anointing. The anointed is a person who has fit into those three characteristics. As long as something has had contact with him and that thing recognized is that it can make him anointed, he's anointed. Whether he's operating anointed or not, he's anointed. Do you understand it now? Eh? So I'm going to explain the concept of anointed to you. So David's heart smote him and said that it's not like what David was saying is a lie. It's true. That's why his heart was smooth. The Holy Spirit troubled him. He said, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of who? The Lord. God anointed him. Do some more. So the fact that the power of God is no more resting on him does not deny the fact that he was anointed. So an anointed person is not the person who is necessarily operating. It is the person who has fit into the three characteristics I've mentioned. Saul was set aside. He was the king by identity. And he was a vessel who the power of God come upon him. Are you on the same page? Are you on the same page? So the anointed and the anointing can be two different things. So the fact that you are anointed does not guarantee that the anointing is working in your life. Let's move on. Okay. Now, I've mentioned what the anointed or what makes somebody anointed and the interpretation of it in the Old Testament. I'm trying to build two scenarios and establish the concept of the anointed and why anointed with the Holy Ghost is a very key thing. So let's look at the second scenario in the New Testament. In Apostle Paul's exposition, the first anointed man in the New Testament is Jesus. He established that unlike the Old Testament, the oil was used. Okay, unlike the Old Testament, where oil was used to establish who is anointed, with the matter of Jesus, it was who? The Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 10, verse what? 38. Now the question is, when the Holy Ghost came upon Jesus, what interpretation was added to who the anointed was in that context of him being anointed? You find out that it is the same three characteristics that I mentioned in the Old Testament that was still established in the life of Jesus. Now let's look at number one. Though what is used to anoint in the Old Testament is different in the matter of Jesus, it still revealed who the anointed is. Number one, Jesus was set apart from many. John chapter 1 verse 32 to 34. When the Holy Ghost came upon Jesus as a point of contact to show that he was anointed, the first thing he did was that he separated him from the many. John never knew who was Christ. In fact, John never knew who is going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. So he was looking for a sign to separate him. So the anointed, the first characteristic of an anointed is the person is separated, set apart. He is not among the common. If we don't understand this, we will think that the anointed is somebody who gallons of oil have been poured upon. No. The anointed, first character of the anointed is the person who has been set apart. Watch. And John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. John was preaching that there cometh a man who shall baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John didn't know the person. How? And that person is the anointed. How would John know? God said that the one whom the Holy Spirit will descend on means that the one whom the anointing will make physical contact with. That is, so it's Jesus was set apart by that symbolism of the dove. So the anointed Jesus was not in the act of what he was doing. It was who he is by the characters that was what released through the contact of what? The Spirit. Number two, Jesus' identity was revealed publicly by the Father for the first time. So when we anoint somebody, your identity is publicly revealed as king, as priest, as prophet in the Old Testament. What about Jesus? It was done. Matthew. Matthew chapter 3 verse 16 to 17. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. What was the next thing? Let's see. Public declaration of his identity. What did he say? And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is what? My beloved son. Nobody knew God's beloved son, but the day the anointing, or there was an establishment of the anointed, who he is, was declared. Said, it's my heart, beloved son. My son. 30 years on earth, God never claimed him as a son. 30 good years on earth, God never claimed him as my heart, my son. Till the day that a point of contact was made. That was the day God said, this is my beloved. So you see, the same characters that made somebody anointed in the Old Testament didn't change as far as Jesus was concerned. Who he is was made known at that day. The third thing, he was prepared to walk in the anointing which he himself admitted. You find out that right after this very scripture, in the next chapter, which is Matthew chapter 4 verse 1, you see that the Bible said, and the Spirit led him to be tempted, right? Matthew chapter 4. And when he came back, we said, and he began to what? Preach, heal, miracles, signs, and wonders. Jesus never did any of those things until there was a point of contact. In fact, he himself admitted it. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 verse 16. Jesus himself admitted that the Spirit of God came upon him because he was anointed. If he was not anointed, so the dove that descended, the Holy Spirit that descended on him was to anoint him, make him the anointed, a point of contact. So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Verse 17. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because this is brofu grammar. Jackie, you both did English, right? When I say something is upon me and I bring because, what am I trying to say? The focus is not on what is on me. It is as a result of what made what is what happening on me. Because what? He has what? Anointed me. So if Jesus was not anointed, the Spirit of God would not be on him. So the anointed is not necessarily the one who is operating the anointing. The anointed, when we say you are anointed, it means that there's a contact you have made with something that makes you who you are. That is why I said that we are all anointed by the Holy Ghost. You understand? This is the foundation of the concept of anointing, the abiding anointing. Foundational. If you don't understand this, you cannot walk in anointing. The abiding anointing, the foundational, the first stage of anointing. The first stage. Let's move on. So, these two scenarios that I have explained above are communicating one thing. Irrespective of the material nature used to anoint who or who in both the New and the Old and New Testament, which is establishing a contact of God being with a person. So, what I'm trying to tell you is that whether the oil or the Holy Ghost that came upon them, the whole interpretation is that God is with the person from that day on. So anointed is the person who God is with. Finish. The anointed. Any called anointed is the person who God is with. And I'm going to prove it to you. So the moment God is with you, you are anointed. That's it. So the definition of the anointing, I'm not talking of the anointing. No. The anointing is the presence and the manifestation of the presence and power of God in the life of what? A person. And that person, where the power and the presence of God can manifest, is somebody who God is with. And whoever God is with, that person is called the what? Anointed. The oil was just a symbolism to establish that God is with you. The Holy Ghost that came upon Jesus was to establish that God is what? With him. So in Acts chapter 10 verse 38, let's read that scripture. Let me prove it to you there. First point, let me establish it. So the anointed is not the one who is demonstrating God's power per se, but the one who God is with. Read Acts chapter 10 verse 38 carefully. See, the latter part explains the first, the introduction. Let's read. How God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? The Holy Ghost. Okay. With Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Now watch, comma. Why? For God was with God, with him. The whole sentence, who went about doing blah blah blah, was to explain who the anointed is. And who is the anointed? For God was with him. So the anointed is any person who God is with. So if you sit here and you think you're not anointed, then that is, see, that's why I tell you that the foundation of anointing begins with the concept anointed. Are we on the same page? Do you understand the concept of the anointed now? So the oil was just a symbolism to establish that God is with. So anybody that God is with, that person is qualified to be called the anointed. So when the Bible says, ask of me and I shall give you the heaven, he is talking to anybody that God is with. That's what the Bible said, if God be with us. That you cannot come against the anointed. That you know the anointed is not because, the reason why you should not dare touch the anointed, because the anointed is not alone. That's why David was so bold. He said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because he is with me. He's anointed. The only, see, how come there? Let me say this. The difference between Saul and Saul and David is the understanding of what happened to them as kings when the oil was poured on them. David understood it. David knew that the oil that touched him means that from that day forward, God was with him. Saul didn't understand it. That's why he said, even though I decided to go and walk through the valleys of shadows of death, I fear no evil. I pray for you. You see, you are anointed. And you are anointed with the Holy Ghost. I don't know why you are walking through this world with so much fear that you will fail tomorrow, that you will not make it. Then he said, yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? I am anointed. And the interpretation thereof is that the Lord is with. I said, God is with you. God is with you. You are anointed. I'm going to show you how you are anointed. I'm going to show you. Are you all there? So at 10:38 was explaining the anointing. He said, and Jesus was anointed because God was what? With him. That is why I said the anointing with the Holy Ghost over there means the presence of what? Of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God. This was the differences between David and Saul. Which Saul, you see, that's what I was saying. Saul thought that the anointing that was upon him was in reflection of the masses or the army he had. You see, when the anointing came upon him, the first thing that happened was that people came around him. That's why I said the experience you have when you're anointed, it differentiated. See, when you see in 1 Samuel chapter 11 that we read, verse 5 and 6, when Saul heard the whole thing and the Spirit of God came for him, what was the first thing? He was able to mass people around him, two of us. You remember? So he interpreted that the anointing, the interpretation that God is with me, is because people came. Then the day that the people started leaving, he panicked. and he acted stupidly because he thought that the anointing was gone. But David, when the anointing came up, where did he go? The desert alone. And on the desert, he found out it was he and his God. The reason why Goliath couldn't scare David off was not because of what he is. It's because how the guy has understood that God is with me. He survived all kinds of things on the desert. The problem with you is that when you are anointed person, you have interpreted it in a different manner. I'm anointed. Sheesh. Me, I'm anointed, Papa. That is why I can walk through the valleys of shadows of death of my hometown. And I fear no evil. I don't fear any evil. For why? God, that is why when you go to your hometown, you are hiding yourself. Oh. I said you are anointed. You see, when you walk with this mindset, wherever you are, you're okay. Because it is not the circumstances that is what is defining you. It is who is with you. I pray for you that you understand that you are anointed. You will come with that. You accept and understand that being anointed means God is with you. Hallelujah. Now, when we say God is with you, as a principle of you being anointed, it is not only even just the people who were selected to lead, but the whole nation of Israel. Do you know why Israel was called the anointed? Last time I spoke about it. First Chronicles chapter 20, 16 verse 20. Where he said, touch not my heart, anointed, and do my pro-. Do you know why Israel was called the anointed? Because God was with them. The nation Israel was called the anointed because God was with them in the representation of the tabernacle. In the representation of what? The tabernacle. Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 2 verse 1 to 2. Let's read Numbers chapter 2 verse 1 to 2. Oh, Jesus. Okay. I'm getting close to my 1 hour clock. Numbers chapter 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron saying, listen. Every one of the children of Israel shall come by his own standard. Beside the emblems of his father's house, they shall camp some distance from the tabernacle of what? Meeting. Continue. On the east side, towards the rising of what? The sun. So, you see, from the rising of the sun, it's the scripture, Yeah. Those of the standard of the forces with Judah shall camp according to their armies, and Nashon, the son of Aminadab, shall be the leader of the children of what? Judah. Let's end it there. Now, you see that the Bible said they camp around what? The tabernacle. You know, the tabernacle was a representation of God being with them. The tabernacle of God was in the midst of the people of Israel as what? The representation of God with them. The reason why he asked Moses to build him a tabernacle was because and that's why the tabernacle, it is God who gave the measures, the design model, so that it can fit for purpose for his presence to be captured in their midst. Because after that time, God couldn't dwell in them. Now, when the tabernacle was built and the glory of God came upon it and God took residence in that tabernacle, it was seen that God was in their midst. If you don't know, Balaam was the one who gave that revelation. Numbers chapter 22. Let me show you something. That's why the Israelites were called the anointed. They were called anointed because God was what? In their midst. Numbers chapter 23 verse 20. Numbers 23 verse 20. Let's go. Read something. Numbers 23 verse 20. Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed and I cannot reverse it. Follow. Verse 21. He has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shadow of the king is among them. When he was asked to curse the people of Israel, he told them that I cannot curse whom the Lord has blessed, because the shout of the king is among them. Do you remember that there was a time of war in the days of Samuel that Israel was losing, and when they brought in the ark of God, the Bible said the joy and the shout from the camp put even fear in the Philistines, because the people believed that God was in their midst at that time. So even the people of Israel were God anointed, because God was what? With them in the representation of what? The tabernacle. So anytime the people of Israel are able to service the tabernacle very well, they are able to meet the priesthood, you find out that there is no nation who come close to them, because God was represented over there. So being anointed is God being with you. Hallelujah. Now, is the believer anointed? Yes. The believer is anointed because God is with him as a result of the Holy Ghost living in us. Now, we are, God is not among us by tabernacle, but the Holy Ghost. So he said he anointed us with what? The Holy Ghost. God was with the kings, the priests, and the prophets because of the oil that they made contact with. I will continue because I'm going to explain the weight of the oil as compared to the weight of the Holy Ghost, and what separates us from them, and what we can do much, much better than them. The believer is anointed because the Holy Spirit is with you as a result of he being in you. John chapter 14, verse 17. Our last reading. Jesus. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The believer is anointed from day one he's born again. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has come to dwell in you. As I told you, the characteristics of the anointed is that you are set apart. That is why we are called the saints. We have been separated from what? The world. The reason why you are separated, you are not a commoner, is because the Holy Ghost is dwelling in you. You are anointed. This anointing principle, or this anointed principle, is not a feeling, it is a knowing. That's why in the book of John chapter 14, he said that the world does not receive because they do not know him. But you know him. So that if you don't know him, it means that the potency of this principle of being anointed, God being with you, shall not manifest. But we are anointed with the Holy Ghost. In other words, we have the Holy Ghost. Being anointed, in a simple definition I want to give you to wrap up, is this. Being anointed means you have the full attention of heaven, number one. And you have full access to all you need to accomplish any task God has asked you to do. Any person that God is with has the full attention of God. You are anointed with the Holy Ghost. The problem is we have not learned to know this. As I said, the difference between Saul and David, because one person understood what that thing meant when the oil was poured on them, as God being with him, not as crowd. Or you said anointed, anointed, anointed. Where your mind goes is somebody. No. You are anointed. So when the Bible said, why do the heaven rage And the kings of the world imagine vain things. The rulers plot, I'm paraphrasing, against the Lord and his anointed. Don't think you're excluded. The reason why the witches of your family are coming after you is not because, you see, that's why, you see, when you said me, I have not done anything, and I have not done this, it is because of who is with you. It has called for war. When you are ignorant, they will deal with you. Do you understand? You see, you can choose not to. If you don't want trouble, just deny Christ and go. But as long as you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, the apostles were not anointed on Acts chapter 2, the day of the Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. That was not when the anointing came upon them. The anointing came upon them in John chapter 20, verse 21. And he said, and he came unto them, peace be unto you. And he breathed unto them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. That day, the anointing started. How God has anointed Jesus Christ, simply as God being with him. You see, Peter was describing the impact. You see, do you know why? That if you really study that content of Acts chapter 10, verse 38, Peter was preaching to them about the essence of having the Holy Spirit. That's why by the time he was done preaching, the Holy Ghost started baptizing them. He was telling them that how God was with Jesus, talking about the deliverances and the manifestations of the power of God in his life. And he said, this is because God was what? Peter saw a man that God was with. Can we see that in your life? This year we have to be anointed. Are thou anointed? We must see that God is with you. And one of the evidence is that if God be with us, who can be against us? If the Holy Spirit is living in you, the evidence of God being with you, the definition of you being anointed, and there are certain things that are standing against you, then it is of clarity that you don't know that he's with you. And I pray that you not become like Jacob, that you get to a place and sleep there only for a dream to tell that God was there. Many of us, it will take us many things to go through before we realize that, so all this while the Holy Spirit, I see, I spoke to somebody recently, a person was telling me that it was when she was about to get married that she knew that you don't actually even need people. See, God can talk to you. I said, so you didn't know you're anointed. You have been counting on pastor. You see today that, you see how I'm talking? One day you call me and not be available to pray because God has me. God has me. So I cannot pray for you because, how can I pray for you? But when you know you're anointed, you say, oh, what are thou mountain before Zerubbabel? Mandevre suntaka. I said, some of you, I pray you not become like Jacob. You sleep at a place, it only take a dream. By the mercies of God to wake you to the reality that God is here. You are El Bethel. You are the house of God. The Bible said, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? How can the Holy Ghost dwell in you? And we cannot see that you have been separated. What happens to the uncommon people is happening to you. The struggles of the common people, you are struggling. You are struggling in sin, you are struggling in sin. They are drinking, you are drinking. You have not. The reason why you are living the life you are living is an evidence of how much you know of who you are. I said you are anointed. Don't think it's only Bishop Dagu who is anointed. You are anointed. Don't let a dream open your eyes to it. I said some of us, it will take many experiences for realize that, so all this while we were anointed. Because that one, you know, you don't feel it. The anointed, you know. David said, even though I walk through the valley, I feel, because I know that he is what? Not that I feel. Because in that realm of operation, there is no feeling. It is knowing. You see? Because of how relevant and necessary this principle was to David. In fact, when he messed up, in the book of Psalms, chapter 50, if I'm right, his prayer of repentance, he said, cast me not away from your presence and take not thy spirit. He was talking about the presence. You see, David said, I can lose everything. You see, the reason why you have no interest in having good relation with the Holy Ghost, because you think that the anointing is the kabe kaba kobo kaba. No, it's good. It's very important. You think the anointing is when you come and source it and pour oil on you. No, that's when you're anointed. It is not. If not, by this time, the oils that have been poured upon your life, you should have prevailed over many things in your life. The anointed is not the one who has, I don't know how to put it, but the simple thing is that the anointed is the one who God is with. The thing is God with you? Do you know God is with you? Do you know it? Jesus said to the disciples that the world do not know, and that's what they could not receive. But you know, that is why you are going to receive him, that he will be with you and be in you. And that is what he said. The reason why we are walking in many lives of fear, because we don't know we are anointed. Why should you feel? In essence, when you know you are anointed, God is with you. How can God sit with you in essence when you are feeling? So why can you be in the office, then somebody will come from another place and I'll deal with you and you are scared? I pray that God will open your eyes like the servant of Elijah. He said, at last, master, we are doomed, we are finished. But Elijah said, those that are with us are more than those. And the Bible said, he opened his eyes and he saw chariots of what? Today I came here that God will open your eyes to see that you are anointed. You don't know. See, because the moment you have contact with that, the anointed, they have contact with the oil, the Holy Ghost. I said you have heaven's attention. The heaven's attention I'm talking about is that ministering angels. You see, that's why, are they not ministering angels? You see, I want you to know that you are anointed. You are not incapacitated. When the Bible said that he has given us all things, it's because we are anointed. God is with us. Why should we keep trembling at the very least things? If you have this confidence in you, you can dare. I said you can do what? You can dare not. You can dare because you know you cannot feel. It is my prayer for you. I said it's my prayer for you, that your eyes will be open like the servant of Elijah. Then you will see the chariots that surround you. The difference between Elijah and the servant was because one person knew. He didn't need his eyes to be open because he knew that God. He told Ahab that the Lord whom I stand before, the presence I stand before him, he is the God. He knew. They didn't have the Holy Ghost in them, but they knew that something has come into contact with them that guarantees the presence of God with being with them. So Moses said, if your presence will not go forth with me, I move not. Moses never asked for the power. He said, your presence. He said, I will go with you. And then because of that prayer, God has to let Moses build a tabernacle to confirm his presence with them. I pray for you this morning. Oh, thou anointed one. The Holy Ghost has come on you. You are anointed. You are anointed with the Holy Ghost. Right now, as I'm praying for you, right now, this under this atmosphere, whatever that has surrounded your life, giving you fear, let your eyes be open to the realities of the Holy Spirit being with you. I said, God is with you because the Holy Spirit is in you. As long as you have the Spirit of Christ living in you, I said, God is with you and you're anointed. Begin to live your life like the anointed. The Bible said that when Saul heard the news, the Spirit of God came upon him. You see, you are one of the people that at every material time when you need a move of God or power, he has to manifest. This is why I like Apostle Suleiman so much. He said, wherever I go, God must manifest. Do you know why? He's anointed. He's anointed because God is with him. So wherever he goes off, he said, God must what? I now understood why when we used to go to the SHS, and God was manifesting himself. Why? Because he was with us. The Bible said, and God was with the apostles, confirming the word with signs and miracles and wonders. Your life should be a life of miracles, signs and wonders, because God is with you. I pray for you today. Oh, thou anointed. Let this be the understanding you're going to go with. I pray for you. Go back home and live a life as the anointed. You are separated. You have an identity. You have an identity. You are not a Siaman. You are a son of God. I'm not blessed. You be very careful. He said, and he rebuked the kings for their sake. He said, touch not the anointed. You can't touch me because somebody is with me. That person, if he that is in you is greater, he said, he is greater than all the world. He said, he that lives in you is greater than that of the world. Nothing in this world can ever swallow you. So I pray for you. Anything that wants to exalt itself above the knowledge of Christ, fighting your mind, attacking your mind, I declare that you will be liberated because of the presence of God that is with you. I curse that sickness. I curse that struggle. I curse that thing that is fighting you because you are the anointed. Who is it that shall stand before the anointed? In the mighty name of Jesus. David said, my horn has he exalted like that of a unicorn because he has anointed me with fresh oil. I declare in the name of Jesus that your horn will be exalted. The horn stands for authority. The horn stands for establishment. Because of the fresh oil that he has anointed him. He said, because God is with me, my horn has he exalted. I declare in the name of Jesus, let there be exaltation of the horn. He said, David have I found, with my holy oil have I anointed him. I said, there is a contact that has established the presence of God in your life. There has been a contact. The Holy Ghost has contacted you and you have been contaminated with the Holy Ghost. He said that God is with you. That is an understanding. And God being with you, nothing can stand you. Go in this understanding. Go in this understanding. Rise to your feet. In 2 minutes, we're going to pray. Oh. Diva brasendo kumai. Kumbela mama suvisaya. Kuvida branda babo sayende. Mandia levanda sino kubrisaya. Kola vatine nesende belo bosaya. The believer has been turned into some kind of laughing stock because we think we are like one of them. It so saddens my heart when I see a Christian behaving like one of them. Hey, Adi, you know, miss me, bro. Hey, who said we are anointed to still be among the common? How can the Holy Spirit be making that confession? Henry, if a lecturer decides to fill everybody in the class, might not she? If there is a cause that is going to fail everybody, my gosh. You see, when David was anointed, and there was one character. You see, well, that's why you can't talk about David without anointing. Saul tried in many ways to deal with the young man, but the Bible said that he operated in a wisdom that even his enemies respected him. When a woman came before him, said, "The wisdom of you is as the wisdom of an angel." Why? Because God was with him. When God comes around a person, everything around that person changes. But the issue is that, have you known? As John said, Jesus said to the disciples, the world cannot receive because they do not know him. Your problem is because you have not learned to know him much. The anointed is the one who has come to act. So what I'm saying to you, yes, to some of you, it's a theory, but some of us, it's a reality. Because enye radia edamruku okayemo enye, if it is not God on our side, we cannot be doing what we are doing today. We cannot be where we are, and that's why we know we are anointed. Because the things we do, it is only the ones who are anointed can do them. Lift up your hands. I wanted you to pray and say that, Father, help me to know you intimately, so I can continue to receive from you and receive you. You are anointed with the Holy Ghost. It's a simple sentence. It means that the Holy Ghost is with you. For God was with him. You are anointed with the Holy Ghost. Means that the Holy Spirit is with you. The abiding anointing, the seed anointing. Without this understanding, you cannot even receive the special anointing. You cannot receive it. This is the foundational knowledge in anointing. That you understand that you are anointed because the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. We are anointed with the Holy Spirit. It is not because we have received the Spirit upon us. It's the day we lifted our hands and said, Abba, Father, we accept you as our Lord and personal Savior. That day we are anointed. That's why the new creature is the most dangerous species on this earth, the devil fears. I want you to begin to pray that, Lord, should in case I am like Jacob, who doesn't know you are here in my life, Lord, give me experience to know you are here. Should in case I'm like Elijah's servant, who didn't know that we are surrounded by chariots of angels, your presence around us, oh Lord, Kavelo Sendelevakaya. Oh Kevedom Veledina Masaya. Oh Valasi Kumbrande Velebedesaya. Oh Revendo Nom Villa Sanda Kabasaya. Lord, see, right now, God is taking some of you to an encounter. The assurance of the presence of God. The assurance. The assurance of the presence of God. Let the friend come palasi katine. Mande brando send the Brazil attire. How God has anointed Jesus Christ. How God was with Jesus. See, there are things that will begin to happen in your life that people say, this one, it is only God. It's only God. If God is all with you, it cannot be done. The speed at which your life is going to move, the blessings, the liftings, the breakthroughs, the protection, they will try and try to eliminate you, and they will agree that no, you, the Lord is with you. In the office, they will set traps. At the workplace, they will say things, but they will find out that, oh, this person cannot be crushed. Oh, Father, thank you. Mandevri Sakaya. Father, thank you. Father, thank you.
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.